Hello, everybody. This is Georgianne Hughes, and this is The Bite Show. And many of you know the guest that we have here tonight, Lindsay Williams. And I'm going to let him tell you about himself in case you don't know about Lindsay Williams. And the title of this series is The Next 12 Months. And there's some pretty astounding things in this series. And incidentally, you can find The Bite Show on the internet. Just go to the, T-H-E, B as in boy, Y-T-E, show.com. Go to the library, and you will find Lindsay Williams' name there and some of the past files, audio files, that Lindsay and I have done together, full of facts. Pretty scary. Hi, Lindsay.
Thank you, Georgianne, so very much for allowing me to be on The Bite Show tonight. It is an honor in light of what is taking place in the world. And I would like to express to every person listening to this what is going to happen in the United States of America and the world for the next 12 months. Now, I know the first thing you're going to ask me is, how in the world do you know this? Can you be assured this is going to happen? Well, I'm going to prove to you that this will happen, and I'm going to prove to you how I know it, because I know it from a person who knows everything that goes on behind closed doors with the elite. Let me try to explain what I'm talking about when I say the elite, and in order to explain it, you need to know some of my background briefly. Then I'm going into everything that you can expect in the world for the next 12 months to the next year and a half, that is financially, that is politically, what's going to take place with the oil-producing countries of the world, what is going to happen. Well, you'll find out. This is something you don't want to miss. Have pencil and paper handy. It began with me when I went to Alaska as a missionary. I had been a pastor in Florida for many years. Just after arriving in Alaska as an aviation missionary, I heard they were going to build the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline. They said that 25,000 pipeliners were going to converge on that state to build that pipeline. Now, let's be honest. To a minister, 25,000 of the roughest, toughest, cussing, dishonoring us, drinking, this folks on the face of the earth, what would be the first thing that would come to your mind? Well, that's the first thing that came to my mind. They must need some spiritual guidance.
That's right.
I went to Alyeska Pipeline Service Company, and I said, don't you need a chaplain on the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline? They finally allowed me to have the Northern Seven Camps, which included the huge America's oil field in Alaska on the Arctic Ocean. About 6 months later, the personnel relations man of Alyeska came to me and he said, chaplain, we never knew the value of a chaplain on a pipeline before. He said, you are literally saving us thousands of dollars of counseling fees. He said, we would like to offer you executive status. And I said, what does that mean? He said, go any place you'd like, see anything you wish to see. And he said, we would like to invite you when you're at Prudhoe, which was once a week. He said, whenever you're there and you wish to sit in on one of our board meetings, we'd like to invite you there in an advisory capacity in order to help the relationship between management and labor. Well, I thanked him, gladly accepted what they gave, but I had not the slightest idea, Georgianne, what I was going to see and hear for the next 3 years' time by the providence of God, and I say that strictly because how could a insignificant little unknown missionary flying airplanes out in the bush of Alaska, how could they ever, except by the providence of God, sit in the board meetings with the people who control the world?
Well, that's what I found out. It's the Lord, Lindsay. That's how it happened. God.
It was providence.
Yes.
The providence of God is the only way it could be described. And for 3 years' time, I lived with, sat across the dinner table from, sat in the board meetings with the people who control the world. Now, let me say emphatically from the beginning of this recording that there positively is a group of people on the face of the earth who control the world. Now, please, I beg of you to believe me. This is not a conspiracy. This is an agenda. These people know what they're doing. They know where they're going. They know exactly what's going to take place in the world. They have it all planned. They tell the President of the United States of America what to do. They dictate to Congress what bills to pass. They control the Arabs and the price of a barrel of crude oil. They control the currencies of the world. And I was startled, because if someone had asked me before I went to Alaska as a missionary, and before I went on the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline as a chaplain, if someone had asked me if I believed there was a group of people on the face of the earth who control the world, I would have laughed at them. And I would have said, who are you, a John Bircher? If someone had asked me, after 3 years of my experience of living with these people, now, mind you, they were not coming to my church. I was on their oil field. But if someone had asked me, do you believe there's a group of people on the face of the earth who control the world and control nations and currencies, I would have said, not only do I believe it, I sat and listened to them talk about it. Well, that basically is my background and brings me to the predictions that I wish to make tonight based on what one of these people, one of the people whom I rubbed shoulders with for 3 years' time, I haven't seen him for 25 years, he called me on the phone here a while back. It probably was the most startling phone call I have ever received in my life. Because, you see, 35 years ago, after I finished my work on the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline, I dared to write a book entitled The Energy Non-Crisis. I felt that someone must tell the world names, dates, places, and why there was a supposed increase in the price of gasoline at the gas pump, and the control factor that was involved in all of this, and the book became very famous in a short period of time. I have known for 35 years that if I said certain things, that I would probably have a phone call. And that's exactly what happened. Two times in the past 35 years, I've had such a phone call. First time it happened in 1984. And again, it happened just recently. An individual called me on the phone. He was quite angry. It was one of these people that I sat in the board meetings with years ago. I knew him well. We've spent hours together. Many times, he has been in, even in my worship service at Prudhoe Bay when I was speaking to the pipeliners. And this gentleman said, Chaplain, you've gone too far. You've said too much. You cannot say this any longer. And he said, you cannot say this and this and this and this. And he named it. And he said, if you do, we are going to be forced to do this and this and this and this. And what he said was not very pleasant for my family or for me. Now, you don't argue with these people. There's one thing I learned years ago. Whenever they say something, they mean what they say, and they do have the power to do it. I looked back to the days of John F. Kennedy. He was the president of the United States of America, but he crossed their paths, and he wouldn't dare back down, and he was assassinated. I know better than to argue with these people, so when this gentleman called me on the phone, I said, yes, what do you want? And he said what he wanted and what I had to do and what I could not say anymore and the names I could not mention anymore. And I agreed. Within 24 hours, I closed my website down. My Energy Non-Crisis DVD, I called my 800 service, and I said, don't dare sell another one under any circumstances until I can revise it and take out some names and a few things that I can't say. But this is really not the important part, because this gentleman and I came to agreement fairly quickly. Again, I'll say, you just don't argue with these people. You must realize the power. If they can control nations and manipulate currencies and dictate to the president and the world, a little guy like Lindsey Williams, I wouldn't stand a chance. So I immediately agreed, but afterwards, I decided I would be friendly to him. I said, by the way, I haven't seen you in 25 years. How's your family, your children? Where have you been living all these years? I was very surprised. He became quite polite. Well, after all, why shouldn't he be? I had agreed to do what they said, and he said, as long as you do what we request, just a few things. He said, Chaplain, you can still have your book, Energy Non-Crisis, out there if you'd like. He said, you can still produce a DVD entitled Energy Non-Crisis, but you've just got to take certain things out. He said, we can't let you say them any longer. It's too detrimental to us. And we had agreed, so I asked him these questions. He became quite polite, and then was when it began. Now, folks, if you don't have a pencil and paper handy, I would suggest that you stop right now long enough to go and get it, because you're going to need to write down the things that this man told me. I, at that point, for about 45 minutes, He told me everything that the elite of the world plan to do for the next year to a year and a half. Now, believe me, I know this man well. He knows everything that goes on behind closed doors. And he was willing to answer my questions out of politeness. I asked him, I said, why did you call me? He said, well, Chaplain, you did a great job for us at Prudhoe Bay. He said, you saved us a lot of money. You helped us build that pipeline. And he said, out of courtesy, we wanted to give you an opportunity to be able to do certain things. And I said, I appreciate that. So he became very polite to me. I asked him the question. I said, the price of gasoline at the gas pump, at that point it was about $4 to $5 a gallon, depending on the part of the country you were in. And I said, the price of crude oil is $147 a barrel. That was the very day that this man called me. I think it was that price. And I said, what's going to happen? It's really affecting the economy of America. The average household is taking dinner off of the dinner tables of many people. I said, what is going to happen to the price of a barrel of crude oil? Now, this is startling. Because at this point, he did not hesitate. He immediately said, Chaplain, the price of crude oil is going to $50 a barrel. George Ann, do you remember the day that I called you and I told you this person had called me? I'd like you to verify to the listening audience that the price of crude oil was where it was.
Yes.
At that time.
Yes, I was pretty startled when you called and you told me a lot of things, you know, and about the threats and all of that. It was pretty startling.
And at that point, the price of crude oil was $147. I had been predicting that it was going to $200.
Yes.
I had no way of knowing that it was going to $50 a barrel, except that this man told me what the elite are going to do in the world and why they were going to do it and how they were going to do it. And I'm going to give you all of that on the Byte Show as we continue. Crude oil prices, he said, are going to $50 a barrel. Now, the first thing that came to my mind was, at the gas pump, what's that going to be? That would denominate to approximately $1.50 a gallon at the gas pump. Now, within 4 months' time, 5 months' time, it has done exactly what that man said it would do. Now, if the first thing he said, which was a total impossibility, that could not happen without having catastrophic repercussions around the world. I mean, this literally would be devastating to many nations in the world if it went to $50 a barrel. But he said that's where it's going. Well, the first thing that came to my mind is, why are you going to do this? Now, this is where every person in the listening audience today comes in. He said immediately, Chaplain, the country of Iran is really bothering us. He said they're becoming one of the richest nations in the world. He said the oil-producing countries of the world are becoming rich. And he said they have to be stopped. Now, many of us had been predicting, and George Ann, you'll remember back when I was on your show one time, I predicted that there was a possibility of war with Iran.
Yes.
And many of us, I think you had even been sending me some emails indicating that many people on the Internet were predicting war with Iran, and all of our warships were over there, and Navy and Air Force, and on you go. He said, we don't want war with Iran. Oh, my goodness. I had to make an about-face immediately and start predicting otherwise. He said, Iran's bothering us. We don't want war with Iran. I said, well, how are you going to do it? He said, we're going to bankrupt them. Yeah, folks, this is startling. There's no way back 6 months ago that anybody could have possibly have predicted this. And I said, well, why are you going to take the price of crude oil to $50 a barrel? He said, Chaplain, we're doing it. You ready? He said, we're doing it in order to bankrupt. Now, he didn't use the word bankrupt. I'm putting that in. He used other words. To bankrupt the oil-producing countries off the world. Just after this, for 5 weeks' time, after this man told me this, plus many other things, which I'm going to tell you in the course of the Byte Show tonight, and all of these things, when I look back on them, I realize that there is no humanly possible way that anyone could have known this had they not been sitting there around the board table and in the closed, behind the closed doors with these people. And he said, this is what we're going to do and why we're going to do it. Now, let's go on with exactly what is happening, because For 5 weeks' time, I was so frightened, I didn't appear on a single radio talk show. I didn't take any speaking engagements. I basically disappeared from the world because I was scared.
I know.
I knew that I had in the knowledge of everything that was going to happen in the world for a year to a year and a half. And I called you, I think, one day, George Ann, and I just poured out my heart to you.
Yes.
And I said, here, I'm sitting on knowledge that the whole world needs, and what do I do with it? Well, someone said to me one day, a very respected gentleman, in his 80s, fine Christian, I called him and I told him this, and I said, I can't just sit on this knowledge any longer. He said, Chaplain, did this individual give you his phone number? I said, yes, he did. He said, why don't you call him and ask him what you can say? I said, oh, what wisdom. Well, I did. I picked up the telephone one Saturday morning. I called this gentleman that I have a great respect for. And if I mentioned his name, George Ann, you would know him. And he said, can I say that Lindsay Williams believes these things are going to happen without using your name? Oh, he immediately said, well, why not? After all, it's going to happen anyway. There's nothing anybody can do about it.
Yeah.
I mean, what boldness coming from these people. And I said, then I have your permission to say that Lindsay Williams believes this is going to happen. He said, yes, I did. I begun appearing on a few radio shows here in Yonder. And I say this, one talk show host said to me later, he said, Chaplain, when I heard you say that the price of crude oil was going to $50 a barrel, and it was $147 at the time, he said, I'm going to have to admit to you, after the show was over, I laughed at you. He said, okay. It couldn't happen. And another man, actually on a radio show one day, laughed at me right on the show, and he said, no. He said, the oil-producing countries of the world are so rich, they could never be bankrupted. Well, I'd like to read it to you. This came off of the Dow Jones Newswires just the other day. And I'm going to have to tell that person, if I ever see him again, that I told you so, because this man said to me it's going to $50 a barrel, and the reason for us doing it is to bankrupt the oil-producing countries of the world. And here it is, right here, off the Dow Jones Newswires, and the title is Saudi Arabia, and I'll read it, one sentence of it. Saudi Arabia, 90% of whose exports stem from oil, has sought to maintain the price of oil at $80 per barrel. They said the kingdom has been obligated for more than $400 billion in defense, energy, security, and infrastructure projects, and if the price of crude oil goes below $80 a barrel, it was $34 a barrel the other day. I'm sorry, $36 a barrel the other day. If it goes below $80 per barrel, Saudi Arabia will not be able to maintain its present structure. Now, this is just within months after this individual said to me it's going to $50 a barrel. Another individual said, no, that could never happen. Well, that's exactly what's happening. And you're seeing it right now before your eyes. Now, let me encourage you, before we go any further. You are seeing the price of gasoline, $1.50 a gallon. It'll probably stay around $1.50 to $2 a gallon, depending on where you are in the United States of America, for some reasonable period of time, until these people are able to accomplish what they want. But the ramifications of this are not only with the oil-producing countries of the world, it goes much further. Here it is. Now, crude oil, just the other day, was $36 a barrel. That means that the price of crude oil has dropped 3/4, 75% drop in the past few months' time. That means that the oil-producing countries of the world have lost 75%. That means that they were getting a dollar, they're only getting 25 cents, so to speak. 75% of their income has been cut off within the past 6 months' time. This is devastating. It basically will bring them to bankruptcy at some point. But how is this affecting the United States of America? Here it is. The United States Treasury issues what is known as T-bills. It's the method of paying the interest on the national debt. Countries of the world and people of the world buy them because they are the most secure transactions, the most secure pieces of paper on the face of the earth. As long as crude oil has been around, the nations of the world that deal in it have bought T-bills Treasury bills from the Treasury of the United States of America because they could always depend on them maintaining value. And so these countries have bought reserve currencies for a rainy day. Reserve currency, it's been the reserve currency of the world. The dollar has as long almost as any of us can remember. And they've held them because they could depend on them. Now, these countries have had their income cut by 3/4 in the past 6 months' time. That means that they do not have the money any longer to buy the issues of our treasury, which are called T-bills and securities of all different kinds. They no longer can buy them. Saudi Arabia, Dubai, any country that produces crude oil, Venezuela, Nigeria, on and on and on and on we could go with the nations that have been buying the interest on the national debt of the United States of America for years. Now, we have $12 trillion plus of national debt. It's much more than that, but they admit to that. This year alone, the United States of America is projected to go into debt to the tune of $1.93 trillion deficit for the year of 2009. That means $14 to $15 trillion by the end of 2009 of debt. Now, the debt's okay. A person can be in debt as long as they pay the interest on that debt. And the United States of America must sell T-bills and treasury securities, and the nations of the world must buy them, and people in the world must buy them, and hold them as reserve currency in order for the interest on the national debt to be paid. Now, what happens if the interest on the debt is not paid? If they do not buy these T-bills, the safest investment on earth, the reserve currency, the rainy day currency that all the nations hold, what happens? You guessed it. Well, let's go a little bit further here before I give the exact answer. Recently, just within the past few days, the Federal Reserve announced that they are going to begin buying T-bills. Now, the Federal Reserve is not an agency of the federal government any more than Federal Express is. There is the Treasury of the United States of America that issues T-bills. There is the Federal Reserve, which guarantees your funds that you have in banks and are helping the banks of America today to the tunes of billions and billions of dollars. But the Federal Reserve, as of a few days ago, began buying T-bills. And all of us said, uh-oh, why? The reason why is because the nations of the world who have been buying these T-bills, these oil-producing countries of the world in particular, that were able to buy these and hold them as reserve currency, they don't have the money to buy them anymore because their income has been cut by 3/4. You see, when this individual said to me on the phone, Chaplain Williams, the price of crude oil is going to $50 a barrel, the average person would have said, hallelujah. This is going to be the greatest thing in the world. We're going to have gasoline at $1.50 to $2 a gallon at the gas pump. This is the greatest thing since sliced bread. The exact opposite came to my mind. The first thing that came to my mind was, who's going to buy the T-bills? Who is going to pay the interest on the national debt of the United States of America? How is this going to affect the paycheck of a person that works on the average job? This is what came to my mind because I know the ramifications of it, having known these people as I have for many years. And because these nations, oil-producing countries of the world and others, including Russia and India and Japan, and all of them now getting in trouble because of the price of crude oil coming down, this is a worldwide devastating effect. And as a result, the Federal Reserve is now buying the T-bills of the United States Treasury in order to pretend, or should I say smoke screen, for the average person so that they'll think everything is all right. Buy them because the nations of the world are not buying them as they did before. Now, eventually, what will happen? And this was my question to this individual. I said, what is this going to bring about in the United States of America? And he said it just as if he was quoting it from the board meeting. It was so positive. He said, Chaplain, America will see a financial collapse that will be so great that it will take years to come out of it. Then I asked him the question. I said, are you talking about the Great Depression like happened in 1929? He said, don't use that word depression. He said, no, I am not saying that. He was very positive. I mean, these people can be very firm when they want to be. He said, no, I'm not saying that. He said, America will see a financial collapse that will be so great that it will take years to come out of it. Now, here we are, a number of months down the line. You have gasoline, $1.50 to $2 a gallon to gas. Enjoy it. Enjoy every minute of it. Take that long trip you wanted to take. Prices are still down. You're having deflation now. They are not doing you any favors by bringing the price of crude oil to $50 a gallon, $50 a barrel, and taking the price of gasoline to $1.50 to $2 a gallon at the gas pump. They have done you no favors whatsoever. 6 months, 9 months, a year from now, you will see the result of $50 a barrel of crude oil and $1.50 a gallon at the gas pump, and it is going to be utterly devastating what is going to take place. Right now, you're enjoying deflation. You are going to see hyperinflation 9 months to 12 months from now. And this gentleman went on to tell me what was going to happen. I would like to show you the result of this in something that you may or may not be aware of. It's called the Baltic Dry Index. Now, George Ann, you know what it is.
Yes.
It basically is one of the purest leading indicators of economic activity. It measures the demand to move raw materials to production. Now, unlike the stock and commodities markets, the Baltic Dry Index is totally devoid of speculative players. That means there's no speculation out there. You can depend on this. And the Baltic Dry Index has plunged 93% since June of 2008. Now, let me try to explain in a nutshell, if I may. The raw materials, whether it be steel, whether it be copper, whether it be gold, whether it be cloth, no matter what it may be, anything that winds up in the grocery store as a finished product starts out with raw materials. And there is something called the Baltic Dry Index that measures the purchase of manufacturers of raw materials in order to be able to turn them into the end result product. That means that you are going to see the production drop in coming months proportionately to the drop in the Baltic Dry Index. It is a leading indicator of everything that is going to happen in the economy 6 months, 9 months, 12 months down the line, and the Baltic Dry Index has plunged 93%. That means that China, India, United States of America, the producers of products, the auto manufacturers, have cut back on the purchase of raw materials, and they measure this in the Baltic Dry Index, and that's where we stand right now. So already, we are seeing the beginning of a process. Let me try to explain, if I could. 1929 was the great stock market crash. It was 1933 before there were long lines in New York City trying to get food at the soup kitchens. 29 to 33, there was a grace period. We, right now, are in the midst of a grace period. The price of crude oil has come down to $50 a barrel. The Baltic Dry Index indicates a 93% plunge in the purchase of raw materials. You, right now, have a deflationary spiral. You can buy things cheaper than what you bought them 6 months ago. In most cases, fuel oil, gasoline, way down to what it was. So, that means that 6 months, 12 months from now, 9 to 12 months from now, I predict, based on what this man told me, you are going to see a total financial collapse of the American dollar. Prepare for it. Get ready for it right now. You say, well, that gasoline at the gas pump is a lot cheaper. It sure is. But let's go on now to see exactly what's going to happen. Now, the thing that many people have not even thought about, and George Ann, if you happen to think along these lines now as I go into it, feel free to speak up. Tax structure.
Oh, yeah.
Watch this carefully.
Yeah.
Tax structure. Do you realize that on every gallon of gasoline, there is federal tax, there's state tax, and in some instances, there's cities or maybe county taxes? And what is going to happen of what is happening now, that 75% of the taxes that were coming in on these products are no longer being brought into the federal government and the state government. And governments normally take 3 months to be able to calculate a downturn. That means it's 3 months later before the government ever even catches up with the fact that they don't have this tax anymore. Do you wonder why states and cities and federal, even the federal government, could declare bankruptcy? I mean, this is tax structure on gasoline alone. How do you pave those roads? How do you build the bridges? How does your state maintain its structure? When the tax structure of gasoline alone has dropped 75%, not only did the price of crude oil come down, and not only are you only paying $1.50 a gallon at the gas pump, but now your state is on the verge of losing millions and in some cases billions of dollars. In the case of California, the seventh largest economy in the world, by the way, is California. And they say that as of a certain month in the year of 2009, they will no longer be able to pay state employee salaries because they're going so much in debt. Now, the federal government can print up money at will, and they have no problem. But states can't do that. Cities can't do that. Counties can't do that. So once they find out that their tax structure base has been destroyed, let me break it down a little bit. It's in my book, The Energy Non-Crisis. I have a barrel, 42 gallons of Prudhoe Bay crude oil. And I go on to show all the different taxes at the wellhead. Now, this is not what you pay at the gas pump necessarily, but it's just about as great. At the wellhead, there's a West Coast price, refinery price tax. There's a pipeline tariff charged in Valdez, Alaska. There is the cost of a wellhead price. There is a wellhead cost. There is a 1/8 royalty to the state of Alaska. There's a severance tax paid to the state of Alaska. There's a windfall profit tax paid to the federal government. And it goes on and on and on. I have all of these listed. That barrel of oil at the wellhead, there's a 74% tax on it. Do you realize now that 3/4 of that tax is no longer being received by the federal government, by the state of Alaska government? And then when it comes down to the refinery and delivering that to your store or to your service station, do you realize that there is no longer that tax being received by the federal and state government? As a result, what's happening? You are going to see a few months from now, state governments, city governments, and especially the federal government, they are going to have a tax shortfall that is going to be so drastic. Not only have they lost the sale of their T-bills to those oil-producing countries that can no longer purchase them, because they have had the crude oil prices drop from $140-some-odd a barrel to $50 a barrel, and it's going to stay there, by the way, for some period of time. Now that's dropped, so the T-bills aren't being bought. Now the tax shortfalls are going to, 3 to 4 months down the line, be realized by the state and federal government. Well, how's this affecting you? I saw just the other day some statistics that were given to the Securities and Exchange. Understand that the SOAs need to report to them certain things that they do. And Ann Taylor, most of you ladies recognize it. You probably buy your clothes there. Ann Taylor is closing 117 stores nationwide. Eddie Bauer, very famous all over the country, and you get their catalogs quite often, some of you do. They're closing 27 stores. DeCash is closing all stores. Talbot's closed all stores. J. Jill closed all stores. The Gap, a prominent clothing store, closing 85 stores. Foot Locker is closing 140 stores. Wick's Furniture has closed down all stores. Levitt's has closed down all stores. Bombay has closed all stores. Zales is closing 105 stores in 2009. Disney closed 98 stores. Home Depot is closing 15 stores in New Jersey alone. Macy's is closing 9 stores. Linens and Things. I could move on down to Movie Gallery, Pacific Sunwear, Pet Boys, closing 33 stores. Sprint Nextel, closing 133 stores. Ethan Allen, closing 12 stores. Folks, do you realize that we already are in that grace period between 1929 and 1933, and think of the number of people that have lost their jobs as a result of all of this financial backset. The real estate market is being drastically affected. So many people have lost their jobs, they cannot pay for their house mortgages. Now the banks are having to be bailed out. Now, let's go on to see the other things that this man told me will happen. Someone asked me the other day, they said, Kaplan, how is this going to affect me, average working person? And just tell me, come on, give it to me in black and white, what this means to the average person in the United States of America. I said, okay, let me give you a living example. And I'm going to read it to you. It's only just a few sentences. It's a living example of what actually has happened in the past few months' time. Just a few months ago, the country of Iceland was the first country to officially declare bankruptcy as a result of our modern-day financial crisis. So I'm going to read exactly what's happening in Iceland now, today, just a few months later. The 300,000 inhabitants of Reykjavik, Iceland, are stunned at how fast their standard of living has dropped. Overnight, people lost their savings. Prices are soaring. You heard a few moments ago? You're in deflation right now. You will be in hyperinflation, folks. I'll stop reading about Iceland just long enough to punctuate what I said a moment ago. You will see hyperinflation 9 months to a year from now. Okay, I'll read again. Overnight, people lost their savings. Prices are soaring. Once crowded restaurants are almost empty. Banks are rationing foreign currency. Companies are finding it difficult to do business abroad. Inflation is at 16% and rising. People have stopped traveling overseas. The local currency, the corona, was 65 to a dollar a year ago. Now it is 130 to buy $1. Companies are slashing salaries, reducing workers' hours, and in some instances, embarking on mass layoffs. Now, would you like to know what the United States of America will look like a year from now? This man said to me, he said, Chaplain, America will see a financial collapse that will be so great it will take years to come out of it. And folks, this is planned. Every bit of this is being done by a design behind closed doors. They knew exactly what they were doing. This man told me what was going to take place months in advance of it happening. This is not a conspiracy. It is an agenda, and they will carry out their agenda perfectly. And you say, well, what else is going to take place? Well, Iceland declared bankruptcy. There was another country. Just recently, the Belgian government likewise had to declare bankruptcy. Now, this is affecting the entire world, not just the United States of America. This is a worldwide financial crisis. A farm couple in Colorado just experienced this recently. This farm couple owns a farm. It's Joe and Chris Miller, just outside of Denver. And every year, whenever they finish harvesting their crops, there's still some things out there in the fields, carrots and potatoes and leeks. And they just invite the local residents to come and get whatever they want. And say, we've picked all that our pickers can get. If you can find anything else in the fields, you're welcome to it. In the past, they'll have a few people to come out and pick. Well, this year, they had the surprise of their lifetime. When they opened their field, everybody wanted to pick. There was somewhere in the neighborhood 40,000 people that showed up. I mean, it was hysteria. Free potatoes, free carrots, free leeks. And the Millers were literally dumbfounded. Why? America is already feeling it. Now, not only is America feeling it, the Soviet Union feeling it. They have devalued the ruble. Now, this is Russia. The Soviets, I'll put it that way, the name is Russia. Russia has devalued the ruble 7 times within the past 12 months. And they have closed their stock market numerous times because it was plunging so rapidly that they didn't dare leave it open. Let's go to another country that I experienced something just this past week. I know many people in the world because of my 35 years of rubbing shoulders with these elite, and many of them stay in touch with me. And all I have done over the past 35 years is to voice what the elite have told me. Believe me, folks, I must pause here long enough to say, I'm just a mere human being just like you. I put on my britches like any other man does every morning. There's nothing special about Lindsay Williams. It just so happens that by the providence of God, I've had the privilege of knowing one or more of the people who control the world. And periodically, some of these people call me and talk with me on the phone, and they tell me things. And for 35 years' time, I have merely voiced what these people have told me, and within almost every incident, it has happened exactly like they said it, to the point that some people are saying, Lindsay Williams, you're a prophet. And I say, no, I'm not a prophet. I'm just an ordinary, everyday guy. It just so happens that I know the people who are doing it. Now, folks, you've got to believe that is positively a group of people on the face of the earth who control the world. They are a small group compared to the masses of people that live in the world, but they know everything that's going on. Now, just recently, I was talking with an individual, and he said, Chaplain, I'm sorry, let me go back a little bit. This individual who called me on the phone and told me the price of crude oil was going to $50 a barrel, one of the questions I asked him was, I said, what's going to happen to that beautiful five-star city in Dubai? Some of you have seen pictures of it. There's nothing like it on the face of the earth. They have built an entire city out in the desert of some of the most elaborate buildings that has ever been constructed on the face of the earth, the most modern of everything, and they're right in the midst of the construction of this city. And this individual said to me just a few days ago, he said, Chaplain, I handle the concrete transactions for Dubai. He said, I'm the one that ships it to them. He said, I handle, he said, they have canceled the contract. I said, what? He said, yes. The other day, Dubai canceled its contract for concrete. I said, you mean what this man told me months ago is actually beginning to take place? Dubai, one of the wealthiest nations on the face of the earth, and that beautiful five-star city, the two biggest skyscrapers there, they have completely stopped construction on them, and they're just sitting there because they've given out of money. And the financial situation, he said, yes, they just canceled the contract. Let's go another step. I'll take the country of Nigeria. I'm giving you actual conversations that I've had on the phone just within the past few days' time. Nigeria. Nigeria, a number of years ago, when they found oil there, and then the government said, we will take a certain portion of this oil to run the country with, and the royal families in Nigeria, we will give them allocations so that because of who they are. These royal families hold Nigerian oil allocations, and they can sell them as they wish. Many of these royal families have been holding back on these allocations and not willing to sell them when the price of crude oil went down to $50 a barrel and below. They're desperate. They're contacting different people in the oil trading world and saying, we want to sell our allocation, we want to sell it immediately. Why? They are accustomed to the exorbitant lifestyle that they've learned to live because of being super wealthy people in the midst of an economy such as Nigeria. And as a result, these royal families have had their incomes cut by 75% within the past 6 months, and they can no longer live their elaborate lifestyle, and they're having to sell their oil allocations at much less. Now, this is having worldwide ramifications, and it is affecting everything for Europe, Africa, America, the Middle East. Every place is being affected. I'm going to go a step further. Walmart. Oh yeah, they're being affected right here in America too. And the American people are scared. I appear on radio talk shows on a regular basis. I have contact with many different people, and I find the American people are just livid. They're frightened. People call me. A lady called me on the phone the other day. She was just weeping on the telephone. Another couple called me from Canada and said, "My husband and I just separated over financial matters."
Oh, my.
And the whole world. Georgian, you're probably hearing some of the same stories.
Oh, yes. And Lindsay, another issue, Mexico is going to collapse very soon from the sound of it. Flying J, you know, the truck stops,
yes.
They just filed bankruptcy. The whole chain is in bankruptcy now from the reports that I've got. It's incredible what's going on.
It's so startling. The American people, the public, is beginning to get the message. And here's what happened. Walmart, the day after the election, the day after the election, Walmart sold in one day four times more ammunition than they ever sold in any one given day in the history of Walmart's selling products. Four times more in one 24-hour period than they've ever sold before in any one given day in the history of Walmart. They sold ammunition. People are scared.
Yeah.
They're doing things. I walked into a gun store the other day, and the store was vacant. I mean, it literally, walls and walls, huge store. And I couldn't believe what I was seeing, and I know the owner of the store fairly well, and I said, what in the world's going on? Are you selling out? Are you leaving? He said, no, we're not leaving. I looked at the pistol case, only a few sitting there. All the assault weapons, there was one. He said, we only got one on the entire shelf. I looked at the rifle counter. The two walls usually are covered with rifles, one right after the other. One whole wall was empty except for one or two guns. I said, what in the world is going on? He said, Chaplain, from just before the election until now, he said people had panicked. He said they're buying everything they get their hands on. He said people will walk in our store and say, sell me anything you can get me and some ammunition to go along with it. He said they're coming in here and they're buying every assault weapon they can get their hands on. People are afraid. People are concerned. I mean, the American people are livid over what's happening. And folks, you best be concerned. And if you haven't taken action in relation to your own dinner table, I would urge you to do it right now. Now, George Ann, before I go any further, mm-hmm. I've got to give the people some hope.
Yes.
This does not have to happen this way. There's only one lack, and that's honesty in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
If our congressmen, who know, would be honest, we could solve all of these problems that I just talked about. There's only a small number of these people that are the elite. And I know many of them. I know who they are. This small group, but there's a lot of us. There's a lot of Americans out here who are knowing the issues. Now, I'm going to read it to you from the United States Geological Service. Now, you can't get much more prestigious than this. And here it is, and I'm going to read you the name of the individual who presented it to Congress. We could solve every problem that you and I have just heard me talk about. You could solve it if there was only some honesty in Washington, D.C., and if they would take action on what they already know. I'm going to read it to you from the U.S. Geological Service. The western two-thirds of North Dakota, western South Dakota, and extreme eastern Montana. The Bakken, B-A-K-K-E-N, is the largest domestic oil discovery since Alaska's Prudhoe Bay. The Energy Information Administration, EIA, estimates it at 503 billion barrels of crude oil. Now, I'm going to give you the name of the person that gave this to Congress in just a minute. You can write it down for yourself. Go find it. It was on the web. Even if just 10% of this oil is recovered, only 10% of 503 billion barrels, at the price of $107 a barrel, and it was $147 at one time, at $147 a barrel, we are looking at a resource base worth more than $5.3 trillion. Did you realize that with the oil that the U.S. Geological Service has already announced to Congress is available, discovered, they know where it is, they know how much is there, they have already written articles on it. It was told by Terry Johnson, the Montana legislator's financial analyst, gave this to his congressman, whom he's responsible to do that, and it was presented before Congress. It is already in the congressional record. The congressman knows it is there. It literally boggled their minds when it was told to them by the Montana, I believe it was one of the Montana representatives in Congress, $503 billion, 503 billion barrels, at only $107 a barrel. If only 10% of that was recovered, we could pay almost one half of the entire national debt. And yet they will not allow us to supply from our own soil and bring it to the American people, keep the price of gasoline down, and once and for all do in the elite who are controlling the world. Then comes the question that I ask. I asked this question of this gentleman that said it was going to $50 a barrel. I said, what about America? We have oil on our own soil. I know what's at Prudhoe Bay. I was there.
Yeah.
Let's forget about that and just talk about what's in this Bakken oil reserve in North Dakota, South Dakota, and Montana. If we just use that, never mind Prudhoe Bay, never mind the Arctic Wildlife Refuge, you're so afraid of affecting the ecology. Let's forget about that. Even if you didn't use it, let's just take the Bakken Reserve alone. We could almost pay off, we could pay about one half of the national debt. So I asked this question of this gentleman that said the price was going to $50 a barrel, who knows everything that goes on behind closed doors. I said, what about the supply of oil in America? He said in his own words, I'll put it in my words because he said it over about 10 minutes' time, he said, Chaplain, that we are not going to allow any major production of oil from the American soil. Right now, they are in the process of the areas in the Dakotas and Montana that they know this oil is under, in putting it off limits to oil to oil drilling. I mean, it is. We have literally been betrayed, and the congressman was told that this is there. Can you imagine paying off one half of the national debt from our own soil, and the only thing that keeps us from doing it is honesty in Washington, D.C.? Now, how much oil is this? Let me compare it. This Bakken oil field that they know is there, already announced by the U.S. Geological Service, it is 8 times as much oil as Saudi Arabia.
Oh, my.
18 times as much oil as Iraq, 21 times as much oil as Kuwait, 22 times as much oil as Iran, 500 times as much oil as Yemen.
Oh, my goodness.
We could go on and on and on.
Oh,
I mean, this is an atrocity that should startle every American to the point of taking some definite action. Well, then I asked another question to this gentleman that called me on the phone. I said, how are you going to keep the prices of crude oil? Are you ready? I mean, these people have this so meticulously planned that it would boggle your mind if you knew some things I'm not even going to say in this production this afternoon. This whole situation is so meticulously planned. And I asked him, I said, how are you going to maintain the price of crude oil at $50 a barrel? Now, he didn't say it was going below $50 a barrel. I am amazed that it has gone down to $36 a barrel. I mean, they really intend to do the oil-producing countries of the world in and do them in gloriously, very rapidly. And it's almost as if they have accelerated that program. And he said to me, he said, Chaplain, we have 2 major oil fields in the world. I'm going to tell you where you can find this for yourself. I mean, some of you are going to go and research this because you're going to say, wait a minute, is this guy just blowing his lid or does he really know what he's talking about? So I'm going to give it to you so you can prove it for yourself, not just tell you what this man said. He said, we have 2 major oil fields in the world that we can bring online anytime we want to. He said, they are so huge that we can keep the price of crude oil at $50 a barrel as long as we want to. I was on a radio talk show the other day, and the talk show host said, well, Chaplain, it's gone down to 30-some-odd dollars a barrel. But he said, it's going right back up, isn't it? And I said, no. He was startled, and I didn't mean to refute his word. But, folks, they will keep the price where they want it because they can bring on 2 major oil fields in the world, and one of them frightens me to no end. I'm going to read it to you. You can go find it for yourself. It was on Fox News. Now, anybody can go back in the archives of Fox News and find this. It was Thursday, July the 24th, 2008. Fox News announced, for the first time it's ever been announced in the world, as far as anybody knows, announced an oil field that is so huge that it boggles the mind. They go on to give the statistics. You'll read the article for yourself if you wish to. And the amount of natural gas that's there. And they announced this huge oil field. Where is it? In northern Russia, or north of Russia. That's the way the man put it to me that was talking to me on the phone that day. He said, Chaplain, we have 2 major oil fields already. We can bring them on any time we want to. He said, one of them is north of Russia. That bothered me because I've read Ezekiel chapter 38 and chapter 39 in the Bible. And so I asked the man the question, knowing what I know as a minister of the gospel for many years, I said, what does this mean for Russia? Folks, mark my words. Please take this down in your notes and watch it. A year from now, you'll look back and say, Lindsey Williams, you're a prophet. And I'm going to say, no, I'm not. A man told me, who knows everything that goes on behind closed doors, he said, Russia is going to be a major contender. Again, we'll have another Cold War, so to speak. I'll put it in my words. We are going to have to deal with Russia as a major power again because the elite of the world have the ability of bringing on this oil field north of Russia and literally making them one of the wealthiest nations on the face of the earth. We have something on our hands that is startling. The second oil field, I hope you'll go back and look that up in Fox News, by the way. The second oil field can be found in the Jakarta Post, Jakarta, Indonesia. And I'm going to give you the statistics on it. There are known oil reserves in Indonesia of 320 billion barrels of oil. Now, Saudi Arabia only has 264 billion barrels. Indonesia has known oil field never opened. Never drawn out of. They have it ready. They can produce it in time they want to. 320 billion barrels. Now, if the price of crude oil begins to go back up again, in order to accomplish what they want in basically bringing to the knees the oil-producing countries of the world, keeping them from buying our T-bills, putting America into the financial state that they wanted, you say, what do they have to gain by doing this to the country where they live? And most of them do live in America, by the way. What do they have to gain by doing all this? Oh, very simple. Have you noticed what's happening to the banks of America lately? Their profits are dropping like a rock. Citibank, I guess the largest, one of the largest in the United States of America, went back to the Federal Reserve the other day for the third time in order to keep from declaring bankruptcy. Bank of America, you go on and on and on, the banks of America have now basically for all natural... for all practical purposes, they've been nationalized. The Treasury of the United States of America has given them so much money to bail them out until they own them. So what have the elite of the world accomplished? They own the banks of America. They'll own them all before they get through. How about the real estate of America? You lose your job because of the financial backstep. What they have created. Now, what do you do after 3 months' time when you can't pay your house mortgage? They come in and repossess. Who gets it? The lending institution. Who does the lending institution belong to now? Treasury of the United States of America, because they've given them so much money until they own them and totally control them. And who owns all of the Federal Reserve? Who are all these people? They're the elite of the world. It's, the Federal Reserve is no more federal than Federal Express. And so, and when you learn all of these issues, you realize what they have to gain by this. What will they have to do in order to own the majority of the real estate in America? The people who can't pay their mortgages. And as things get to the point where you have to take a wheelbarrow load of paper, green stamps, we call them, U.S. dollars, it takes a wheelbarrow load of those to go to the grocery store to buy a loaf of bread because the dollar devalues so much when the countries of the world begin to dump it and they don't buy our national debt any longer. And when it comes to this, how are you going to pay your house mortgage? And when you don't pay it for 3 months, what do? They come in and repossess your house. Everything you've put in it for all of these years, it goes back to them. What did they pay to repossess that house? Nothing. Nothing but a computer entry.
There's another issue, and you mentioned it earlier, and that was the shortfalls in the States. You know?
Yes.
Okay. There's a lot of talk about the states raising property tax. And people that have got, for example, their little house paid for, et cetera, but they, you know, their pension is basically gone, so they do menial work. If they double, triple, quadruple people's property tax, that's another way they will steal people's property.
Yes.
Yeah.
So who owns the majority of the real estate in America? The elite. What did they pay for it? A computer entry.
What do they want to do with it, Lindsay?
They'll own it. They'll merely turn around and rent it back to you.
Oh,
so the rest of your life, you will be beholden to the elite of the world who are doing all of this by design plan, and I was told about it many months ago by one who knows everything that goes on behind closed doors, and I am begging you people, I am pleading with you to listen to me today and hear what this man told me because I'm trying my best to explain to you how they can do it. The airlines, the railroads, the little family industries, the little corner store. How about the restaurants of America? Do you know how much business they've lost recently because people don't have the funds any longer to go out like they used to a few times a week? Who will own all these businesses? Oh, they'll take the ones they want. Oh, they didn't want Lehman Brothers.
Yeah.
After all, let them go. We don't care about them. They're our enemy anyway. Let's save these others over here, the ones that are our friends. Let's bail out those. But let's let the others go. How about the retirement funds? How about the big three automakers? They're going to buy them. I mean, the Treasury of the United States of America will give them enough money that they will own them. And for all practical purposes, we've nationalized the big three automakers, Chrysler, General Motors, and Ford. And when things get to the point, they basically have everything to gain by what they're doing. They'll own the majority of the real estate of America. They'll control all the banks of America. They will own the big three automakers. They've already had to bail them out. We can go on and on and on with the list that I gave you a moment ago. They will pick and choose who they want to survive and who they want to fail. And you're going to see this happen in coming months because they have everything to gain by it. So, what's happening? Anytime the price of crude oil attempts to go back up, it won't go much. It may go back up to $55 a barrel, may go back down to $45 a barrel. You're not going to see the drastic increase. If you do, it won't be but short-lived because they'll bring on the oil fields north of Russia and Indonesia, make Russia rich, and accomplish what they want. Well, let's come down to where we are right now to try to explain it. If I may, in terms that we all can understand. Let me use an example. In 1960, I drove my automobile to a service station. Now, notice very carefully, if you will, my wording, because I'm going to pick my words. An attendant, this 1960 now, service station, an attendant walks out and says, "How may I help you?" And I said, "Fill her up." I'm old enough to remember those 60 days and driving my own automobile. And I said, "Fill her up." He walks around, opens the cap on the gas tank, puts the hose in, puts it on automatic, comes around and washes my windshield, checks my tire pressure, raises my hood, checks my oil level, and comes back around and says, 35 cents a gallon. Now, that year, gasoline was 4 quarts to a gallon. I know. I can remember that much from school. It was 4 quarts to a gallon and 35 cents a gallon. 2009, I drive my automobile to a gas station. There is no attendant. No one washes my windshield. I get out, put my credit card in the pump, pump my own gas, and it's, it was $4 a gallon, some states it was $5 a gallon. You're paying $1.50 a gallon or more now. And it's still 4 quarts to the gallon. The gasoline has not changed in any manner whatsoever. None. Still 4 quarts to the gallon. And proportionately today, you're paying the exact same thing that you paid in 1960 for a gallon of gasoline. You're paying 35 cents proportionately to the purchasing power of the currency that you pay for that gasoline with. The gasoline has not changed at all. It's the value of the currency that you pay for the gasoline with that has changed. That's the only thing that has changed, not the value of the gasoline. It's still 4 quarts to the gallon, but it's the currency that has changed. What do you pay for a silver dollar today? What do you pay for an ounce of gold today? I remember the day you could go to a bank and get a silver dollar for a $1 piece of paper. Can you do it today?
No.
So what has happened? Things have changed. May I suggest some solutions for the average individual? Yes, we need to open up that oil field in the Dakotas and Montana. Yes, we must demand some honesty out of Washington, D.C. May I suggest a few things that I think every person needs to do and do as quickly as possible? Number one, set your spiritual house in order. I beg of you to get things right with the Lord. Know where you stand. If a house is on a solid rock, it'll stand when the storms come. If it's on sinking sand, the foundation of that house is going to be washed away. May I beg of you to get out your Bible and read some scriptures? I'll quote you one or two. John chapter 3, verse 16 in the New Testament scriptures. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can know that you're spiritually right. You can know that you have someone who cares for you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest, the Word of God says. You can find rest in the midst of difficulties, and you can stay together as a family if things have been set right spiritually. I beg of you to read in your Bible Romans chapter 10. I'm glad that you're listening to this on archives, or you may be getting it on a CD because you can go back and look up these scriptures. Romans chapter 10 in the Bible in the New Testament, verses 8 through 13. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Religion's not going to be able to help you in these times. Churches are in as bad a shape financially, worse shape than most individuals. Some churches are already being foreclosed on. You can't depend on religion. The only one thing you can depend on, and that's Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the Father to help you. And I beg of you to read Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 13. I beg of you to read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, and find the answer that God has for you spiritually, and set that spiritual house in order as quickly as you can. Secondly, I urge you to get out of debt. I know it's hard. It's almost impossible to do. Because Americans are facing some catastrophic times. American corporations spent $59.2 billion last year in the past 12 months. Where? In America? No. In China.
Yeah.
You guessed it. The United States has lost 7 million textile jobs, 3 million manufacturing jobs to free trade and outsourcing. 152,000 companies have left the United States of America. And all the politicians let them do it.
Yeah.
And lay you off from your job. 1 million manufacturing jobs have been lost in the United States of America during the Bush administration. The United States goes into debt to other nations at the rate of $1 trillion per year. This year, it's supposed to be $1.93 trillion they're projecting as a deficit to add to the national debt this year in the United States of America. And this is the startling one. America must attract 17% of the world's capital in any given day just to service our national debt. That's the interest on the debt. The purchase of T-bills by foreigners and foreign nations, and now the oil-producing countries of the world can no longer buy those because they're having to cash in their reserve currencies, which means that the dollar is being disliked all over the world. Russia is cashing in something terrible and buying gold with it, getting out of the American dollar. But America must attract 17% of the world's capital in any given day just to service the national debt and the interest on the debt. And when we can't do that, then the nations of the world say, your money is no longer any good. We can't trust your debt. America has more debt than all the rest of the world combined. Take every nation on the face of the earth and add them up, and America has more debt than all of them combined. So you're going to see some things take place as far as your job is concerned, as far as your home is concerned, as far as your lifestyle is concerned. Set your house in order. Plant a garden this spring. Sit down with your family and ask them the question. It's time to be honest. But we can't live in a pie-in-the-sky world any longer. The next president of the United States of America, you can't expect him to pull that genie out of the bottle. You may as well face reality. And it's time for you to sit down with your family and ask the following question. What lifestyle are we willing to live in light of what's taking place in the world today? You can't hide your head in the sand any longer like the ostrich. Oh, yes, go enjoy that $1.50, $2 gallon gasoline at the gas pump and enjoy it as fast as you can and every minute of it. But did you notice that the prices are still up at the grocery store and you're still paying those service charges on gasoline because they expect them to go back up again? Well, let me ask you a question. If you had lived in 1928 the year before the Great Depression of 1929. And if somehow you had known from one of the elite what was going to happen, like I heard from this man the other day, they called here and threatened me. We came to an agreement. Then for about 45 minutes time, he told me everything that the elite planned to do in the world over the next year to a year and a half. If you had known in 1928 from one of the elite that the great stock market crash was going to take place in 1929, would you have made any preparations for it? Let me ask you another question. If you had lived in Europe before World War I and World War II, and you had known those wars were going to take place, would you have left Europe and tried to get out of the war zone? Let me ask you another question. If you had worked in the Twin Towers the day before 9/11, and you could have known that those airplanes were going to fly into those Twin Towers and they were going to collapse, would you have gone to work the next morning? If you had lived in New Orleans the day before Katrina, and you had known that Katrina was going to hit that city and do to it what it did, would you have gotten out of there? And I'm going to ask you one last question, because this relates to what I tried my best to express a moment ago. If you had lived before Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem of Judea, and you had known that he was going to be born that night, would you have joined the angels and the wise men? And then would you have joined the wise men? Would you have joined the shepherds, I should have said, because the wise men came later, but would you have joined the shepherds at his birth that night if you had known it was going to take place? I dare to say you would.
Yes.
Now, I'm asking you, I have tried my best to express to you what one of them that knows everything that goes on behind closed doors is going to happen. I haven't said it to frighten you. I said it to inform you. I've tried every way possible to help you. All I can do is do what I've done for the past 35 years, and that is to let you know that there is something you can do about it right now, because we're still in that interim period. There's still time for you to do some things and take some actions, and you can do it now. I would urge you, listen to this program over and over and over on the Byte Show. I beg of you, tell every friend of yours to tune into the archives and hear this. Get a CD of it. Here's where you can get it. If you'll dial the number, I have prepared two DVDs. Now, I haven't talked about this earlier, but you'll need to know it now. I have prepared two DVDs on the next 12 months. You will actually see me giving The Energy Non-Crisis and another one entitled The Next 12 Months, and then I have prepared two CDs entitled The Next 12 Months. And you can purchase them if you wish. And the number is 800-321-2900. And on these CDs and DVDs, I go into hours of material. Much of it I've not been able to give on this program because of a lack of time. I beg of you to get them. Now, my CDs and my DVD are not copywritten. You know what that means? That means you can copy them and give them to anybody you want to. I beg of you to give them to every friend and neighbor you've got. Maybe they'll listen to you, maybe they won't. But they'll remember what you said 6 months, 9 months, 12 months from now when they see it come to pass. The number is 800-321-2900. I beg of you to call that number, order these, give them to your friends and neighbors. Do everything you can to tell the truth the next 12 months. Just ask them for that. They'll tell you about all of them. You can ask all the questions you want. It's toll free, 800-321-2900. This is a story, George Ann, that I'd like to give you out of something that happened just today.
Okay.
My home school, our son Daniel.
Yes.
And we're studying American history this year, and he read something in the book, and then I knew that I was going to be on your program tonight, and I'd like to close with this. It's written in his American history school book, and it's entitled The Call to Oregon. You remember back in the days when they opened up the West, go West, young man, go West.
Yes.
And the title of it is Search for a book from heaven. And I'm going to read it to you. As explorers blazed many trails through the American West, travel became more frequent. The autumn of 1932. Now, notice the date. In the autumn of 1932, four Indian chiefs representing the Flathead and Nez Perce tribes arrived in St. Louis, Missouri. They came on a long journey of more than 3,000 miles from their home in the Oregon country because the white man had witnessed to their tribes about the book from heaven. They told of one true God. The tribes had held a council fire and chosen four men to go east to find this book from heaven. The Indians came, now this is a true story. You'll find this in the history books. The Indians came to the superintendent of Indian affairs, famous explorer William Clark of the Lewis and Clark expedition. He told them what he knew about the Bible, and then he took them to tour St. Louis, thinking this would impress them. But the Indians only wanted the book and a preacher to explain it. Before long, two of the Indians died of an illness of which they had no natural immunity. When the time came for the two remaining Indians to return home, General Clark honored them with an elaborate banquet, where one of the Indians stood and said, listen to what the Indian said, "My people sent me to get the white man's book from heaven. You took me where you allow your women to dance, as we do ours, and the book was not there. You took me where they worship the Great Spirit with candles, and the book was not there. You showed me the images of great spirits and pictures of a good land beyond, but the book was not there. They were not amongst them. I am going back the long journey, sad trail to my people of the dark land. You make my feet heavy with burdens of gifts, and my moccasins will grow old in carrying them, but the book was not amongst them. When I tell my people, blind people, after one more snow in the big council, that I do not bring the book, no word will be spoken by our old men and our young braves. One by one they will rise up and go out in silence. My people will die in darkness, and they will go on the long path to their hunting grounds. No white man will go with them, and no white man's book to show us the way. I have no more words." And the chief left.
That brings tears to my eyes, Lindsay.
Mm. Now, folks, you've heard it. I've tried my best. It doesn't have to be this way. It can be different. And you hold in your hands the end result of how all this will be. Georgianne, it has been an honor and a privilege to be with you on The Bite Show, and I trust that this will go to millions of Americans and that we can see some turnaround and we can have back our great land and our Constitution in which we can pledge to our Republic. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands. Just as we were promised in our Constitution in Article 4, Section 4, that Congress shall guarantee every state in this Union a Republican form of government. Now, that's not a Republican Party.
Right.
That is a Republican form of government.
Right.
But it is we, the people, and not we, the sheeple,
yeah,
dominated by the elite of the world. So, Georgianne, thank you for the privilege.
Thank you, Lindsay, and God bless you mightily. Everybody, go to thebiteshow.com and look for Lindsay Williams' name in the library. Click on it, and his page opens up, and you can listen to some past audios there. And there, Lindsay, they're all there for prophetic about what's happening. Those early audios you and I did back in 2006. So God bless everyone out there listening. This is a warning. Take heed. Good night.